Can you hear me? I don't know. Am I coming out of these things? Yeah. All right, you can. Mr. Lee, if you can hear me, we're doing good. All right, Miss Ann, can you hear me? Probably not. No. Well, we'll record this and we get that. Well, folks, just a few days ago, we celebrated the Christmas holiday, and I pray that everyone had a good Christmas day, celebrating with family and in the midst of all that, and never losing sight of what we are truly celebrating at this time of year. It's not about overweight men in red suits, and if so, I could wear a red suit and we'd all be happy, right? It's not about tearing paper off packages. It's not about all of that. It's about remembering that we have a God who loves us so much that he would leave the grandest place that we could ever imagine, being waited on hand and foot by angels, leave that place to come and be born in the filthiest of places, because he wants to touch and redeem every part of our humanity. Think about that. Jesus was born as a baby. He redeems everything from infanthood to adulthood, teenage years, adolescent years. Every part of our humanity, Jesus touches. He redeems that. This morning, we're going to look further into that wonderful story of God's redemptive plan for us. Today is a day that we celebrate that familial context that God uses to place Jesus into our world to redeem our humanity. Today we're going to focus on that family, that household that God used to bring his son into the world. This morning I want us to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. And we're going to turn there and start at verse 13. So Matthew 2, starting in verse 13. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there. And if not, it'll be on the screen. Here's the word of the Lord for us this morning. Now when they had departed, they meaning the wise men, the magi, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because there are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. Yes, folks, Jesus is a Nazarene. It's a good church this morning to be here to read that verse. Let's pray this morning. Father, first of all, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us your plan for a redeemed humanity in this wonderful revealed word of your speaking to us this morning. And God, this morning we're going to look into the family that you use to redeem this world. And God, this morning I'm very aware that the family is something that is a desperate battleground in our world today. Everyone here is part of a family some way. And every family is in the midst of some form of spiritual warfare this morning. So God, this morning I pray that you would speak to us in a mighty way. Would you challenge us this morning? Would you speak into our hearts? And God, if you're calling us to respond to you this morning, would you give us the courage in the obedience, in the grace to respond to you today. Father, we love you. We love your Son. And we pray that your Spirit would fall upon us today in a marvelous, undeniable way. And God, we pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said this morning, just a few minutes ago, today is that day where the church has set aside to celebrate the Holy Family of Christ. That family that God gives us through Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus. And somehow reflecting on this humble family, I believe, speaks into our families and what God is and what God is desiring for our families today. And as we go through these verses, you know, I've heard sermons on these verses before, and we dig into the depth of God fulfilling prophecy, and that's certainly there. God is fulfilling prophecy through Jesus Christ, his Son. But I think this morning, as we reflect on the Holy Family, I want to look at it maybe in a different angle here and say, well, what are these snapshots of the home life of Jesus? What do they say to our home life today? Does Jesus have a plan for redeeming the family in this world today? Do you believe that? Can Jesus make a difference in our homes? Can salvation be a salvation that only touches our hearts, but our families, in our homes, in our communities, and in our neighborhoods? Can it trickle out? Can it spread out that far? I believe it can. I believe that God has a plan for the family. And I believe that part of God's plan for that family is revealed to us in just these 10 verses that we read this morning. So it begs us to ask the question, what does this Holy Family teach us about God's desire for our families today? And folks, there's a lot here we can talk about this morning, but I just want to draw out a few things that I want us to maybe be reminded of or meditate on or even be challenged about this morning. And the first thing I see is this, that as we look at the Holy Family of Jesus, that first and foremost, that God desires a family that perseveres when under attack. That God desires a family that perseveres, that stands strong when under attack. Can I say this today? The family is under attack in our culture today, in ways that we would never have even possibly imagined. But our families are under attack. What does it mean to have perseverance when not even if our family comes under attack, but when our families come under attack? What does it mean to persevere in those difficult times? Well, the first thing I see is this, that perseverance comes through radical obedience to God's direction, to God's commands. You see, when we look at this story of Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus, we see that Joseph obeyed the commands of God when it wasn't necessarily convenient. Sometimes God calls us to act and do things when we don't feel like it for the sake of our families. Who here likes to be woken up in the middle of the night? There is not an amen in the house. If you have a young child, you know what it's like to be woken up in the middle of the night. Amen. Can I tell you this? You wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you will not see me at my best. You will not see me at my most agreeable. Joseph got a call from God in the middle of the night. Says your family is under attack. Danger is on its way. And it will destroy you if you don't move. Joseph did not hit the snooze alarm on his alarm. He did not say, in 5 minutes I will get up and maybe we'll talk. You see, when Joseph got the call of God to say, you are under attack and you need to move, Joseph said, it's time to go. It's time to move. Time is ticking away, and we don't have a moment to lose. When God says to move, we go. That's obedience to God's command, even when it's not convenient. But also, Joseph also obeyed the command of God when it wasn't necessarily pleasant. He didn't just say, get up and go down the street. He said, no, I need you to get up now. I want you to go into the land of Egypt. I want you to go into that land that represents the bondage of your people. I want you to leave the town of your birth. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your friends. And folks, by all indications, by this point in the narrative of Jesus, Jesus is no longer a little baby in a cradle. Jesus is probably almost 2 years old at this point. He's a toddler, teething, gripey, maybe. I don't know. Terrible twos. Did Jesus have terrible twos? I have no idea. But I'll tell you this, packing up a kid and going anywhere is not easy. But to go into the land that represented the slavery of your people, I can't imagine that was a very pleasant thing for Joseph to do. You know what, guys? Sometimes God calls us to do things we don't want to do. But it's for the good of our families. It's for the good of our homes. It's for the good of what God has planned for us. Instead of telling Joseph to take his family back to Nazareth, where he was from, he tells him to go to Egypt. A journey that I would imagine he did not want to take. But Joseph obeyed when the command wasn't necessarily pleasant. Perseverance comes through radical obedience to God's direction. Furthermore, perseverance comes by keeping Christ at the center of your family. You see, in that first holy family of Mary and Jesus and Joseph, Joseph and Mary had Jesus at the center of their family in a very literal, physical way. It was undeniable the presence of Jesus in their home. All they had to do was hear the pitter-patter of little feet. All they had to do was hear the cries or the breathing of a small child in the next room to know that Jesus was in the home. But can I say this morning, that we, as God's families, of God's people, we are called to have Jesus Christ at the center of our homes. And it's just as real of a way as that first family did. And the reality is that we live in a culture that is trying to take God out of the home. Look at our world today. We're doing everything we can to deny the presence of God in this world. And folks, what I've experienced is the first place that we try to take God out of our culture is to take God out of our homes, to take God out of our families. Folks, the family is under attack. As we persevere as a family, as we decide to say, no, we're going to obey God's command, even when it's not pleasant, even when it's not convenient, we're going to make the stand here as a family to say, Jesus is the center of everything we do. Folks, as we do that, as we persevere under that attack, that literally becomes a part of our family's history. It's something that we can share and cling to. And let me tell you this morning, that a history like that will make a very big difference when the next attack comes. Because you see, the devil isn't all about a nuclear bomb on the family. He's in guerrilla warfare. He's attacking us every day in very different ways. But if we persevere, and as we have a family that says we're going to obey the word of God, we're going to keep Jesus in the center, then we are actually building a family's history that we can cling to when those attacks come. Isaiah 63 says it this way. Closer to the end of Isaiah's prophecy, as God is giving us the hope of his restoration, Isaiah records these words spoken by the mouth of God. He says, I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel that he has granted to them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. See, we may be under attack. But our God has carried us through all before. He will carry us through again. We're going to obey. We're going to obey the voice of the Lord. We're going to persevere. Folks, our family's under attack. God has created a family to reflect His image in this world. That as we see the self-giving love eternally existing between the Father and the Son and the Spirit, He gives us a picture of that in the family to say, this is what that kind of love looks like worked out in the context of your world. And the devil has been working very hard to destroy this image. And he is winning far too many battles. Too many of our marriages are ending in divorce. Too many of our kids are living in hopelessness and despair. And too many of our kids are dealing with that by harming themselves. And too many of them are even taking their own lives. We're losing our children to this. Too many of our young girls are giving themselves away. Falling into a teenage pregnancy. Folks, we stood in front of abortion clinics. And my heart breaks when I see child after child walk into that place to wreck not only, to destroy one life and scar another. Why does this happen? It's because we're letting the devil win the attack on our family. And let me rant just a little bit. Can I have license to just share my heart for just a few minutes? Much of this attack is focused on our men. Hear me. Much of this attack is focused on our men. Folks, men, we are called to be husbands and fathers and priests of our home. It's not something that we claim. It's something that God has called us to. In these verses, Joseph is shown to be a man of integrity. He stood by his family and protected them from vicious attacks. And it's very interesting that after these few episodes, that the Bible's virtually silent. Only one other episode that we see Joseph in. I think God is very intentional to say, if you want to see what a man looks like in the home, look at what Joseph has done. It makes me ask the question. If I had a son, and I don't, but some of you do. If my son followed my example, would I be proud of the man that I was sending into the world? If my daughter married a man that was just like me, would I be happy with the man that he brought home to meet me? Folks, manhood has been under attack. In these 10 verses, we see a man who stands up and says, whatever what the command of God is, I'm going to follow. If it's easy or not, I'm going to be a man of God and protect my family with perseverance. God desires a family that perseveres when we're under attack. Folks, your family may be under attack today. Can I say this? God is calling us to call upon Him and persevere. The second thing I want to say is this, that God desires a family that endures during times of suffering. And can I say this? The fact of the matter is that even Christ-centered families suffer. I would love to tell you that if you put God in the middle of your home, you will never have a hard day for the rest of your life. Can I tell you this? That has not been my experience. Families suffer. Sometimes, just by putting Christ in the center of your home, you sign yourself up for additional attacks and additional suffering. Jesus was born and brought into the world in the midst of a context of suffering. In the very neighborhood that he just left, the slaughter of the children was a picture of the suffering of the world that he was born into. And can I say this? Even though he was spared from that suffering, it is a foretaste of the suffering that Jesus and his family would endure many times in their life together. suffering is a part of living in this fallen, broken world. And can I tell you this? Many times I can take personal attack much easier than I can an attack on my family. It's just something about having my family come under attack that drops me to my knees and say, oh God, I don't know how to carry this. I don't know how to hold this. But God, I'm suffering here and I don't know what to do. Can I say this? That with God's help, we can endure in times of even great suffering. 1 Peter puts it this way. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Folks, our families are under attack. Our families are suffering. And it's much bigger. It's, you know what? I love Duck Dynasty. I really do. They're goofy people. And maybe someday I'll grow a beard like that. But we see in there a picture of a man who was, whose family was attacked because of him speaking what his interpretation of the Word of God. He said, the Word of God says this, I'm not going to back down to it, and if you want to attack me and my family, then so be it. I'm not here to make him a political and a cultural soapbox here. But what I am saying is, how many more of our families can do the same thing? Say, this is what the Word of God says. And if you're going to attack us because of our belief in what the Word of God says, then bring it on. We will endure this suffering. Sometimes we didn't even sign up for it. Folks, sometimes just bad things happen. Sometimes bad things happen to good families. I don't understand it. I can't give you any words that will make it go away. But I will say is this, that God gives us a picture of a family. He says that even though we suffer, we're going to endure it. We're going to press on. We're going to let God's glory be reflected even in the midst of a very bad situation. Folks, I think God is wanting to send more families in the world that reflects His image in that way. God calls His families to reflect His glory through suffering. Folks, we have a choice. We can draw together and become stronger through suffering, or we can fall apart. The good news is I've seen many families draw together and become stronger through times of intense suffering and trial. The bad news is I've seen many families fall apart and call it quits during those same times of suffering. We have a choice. Are we going to let God's glory be reflected into the midst of this situation? Or are we going to let the devil win just one more victory? My prayer is that we stand strong. We have a God who suffers with us. Hebrews chapter 2 puts it this way. For it was fitting that He, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. And that is why He is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. How do I wrap my brain around this? My children look a little bit like me. My children look a little bit like their mother. There's a family resemblance there, because we come, because we're connected that way. There's a family resemblance here. We could put 100 people in the room, and I could pick Sam Brown out of 1 million people and say, I know who his daddy is. There's a family resemblance there. Can I say this? God will use our suffering to help us as a family get a stronger family resemblance to our Heavenly Father. It's not pleasant, but it sure is worth it. I don't know if you're suffering today, but I do want to encourage you to say, let God help you to endure it. And maybe God's way of helping you to endure it is to send God's people into the middle of that context and say, you know what? I'm going to lift you up. We tend to try to suffer by ourselves. We tend to try to keep things in the under the bed or in the closet, or I don't know, however you want to say it. We keep it undercover. Even more so with family struggles, I think, than with personal struggles. It's time for us to say, I am with you, and I want to help. Am I leading my family in reflecting God's image to this world by how we as a family suffer this difficult life together? The third thing I see is this, that God desires a family that's not only persevering when under attack. He's not only calling us to endure times of suffering. I think God is desiring a family that provides protection in a world full of danger. Do we live in a dangerous world? Are there dangers that threaten to come? They may not be on us at the moment, but they're in the periphery of our lives. Dangers that might want to sneak in and cause damage to our homes. Folks, can I say this? The first step in protecting our families is knowing the dangers that threaten us. You see, Joseph knew enough about the dangers that he was potentially going into by returning to Judea. He knew about Archelaus. Archelaus is not a name you hear very often in the scriptures, but I can tell you this: Archelaus was a chip off the old block. Herod, his father, was a tyrant, was probably insane. He's the one that he murdered his own children, and he had no problem calling for the destruction of an entire village worth of young children. Archelaus was falling right into his steps. Archelaus was known for tyranny and instability and murder. And Joseph knew that this presented a very real danger and a very real threat for his family. Can I say this morning? We may not have Archelaus living anymore, but there are things that are very real that are threatening to destroy our families, to bring instability, to creep in and tear us apart. There are very real dangers in our world. They're everywhere, folks. We can't flick on a television without seeing something that's trying to get into our homes that shouldn't be there. It's very hard to even turn on a radio without being inundated with junk that threatens the worldview according to the Bible. Men, the internet is a variable minefield of danger. And can I say this? Many times the dangers aren't packaged with a black label and skulls and crossbones. Many times those dangers are packaged in very bright, very cheerful looking, very pleasant looking paper facade packages. But the danger is real nonetheless. However you package it, evil is evil. And evil's trying to get into our homes. The second step in protecting us is not only knowing that there are dangers, but to make the effort and the decision to stay away, to stay far away from these dangers. You see, Joseph made the decision and really had the help of the angel to say, look, don't go here, go away to Nazareth instead. Folks, Nazareth was a pretty long truck away from where he was going in the first place. It was about 80 miles away, about a week's journey. Folks, he didn't have a car. He didn't have a bus or train or an airplane. He had feet. They made the decision to say, we're going to hoof it 80 miles away from this potential danger. Folks, there is nothing wrong with running away from a very real danger that's coming, that threatens your family. There is nothing that threatens our manhood, men, to say we're going to flee from this. Joseph fled away from this danger that was presented by Archelaus. And us as men, we try to puff out our chest and say, look, whatever comes at us, I'm strong enough to handle this, and I'm going to stand here, and you can't tell me what to do. Can I tell you, you are not strong enough to handle this. None of us are. Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is to run away, is to flee, is to get as far away from the danger as we can get. 1 Corinthians puts it this way, flee, run, as fast as you can from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits outside his body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. He says, don't try to tough it out. You run away. Get away from it. A man runs away from that stuff. It's not just those kinds of temptations. There's other things as well. 1 Timothy puts it this way. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Not just a man into ruin and destruction, people. Dare I say that plural people could be an entire family. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee from these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Carnality threatens to attack our homes. The Bible says, run from it. Flee. Get away from it. But this verse even goes further. Don't just run away from the evil. Run to a God who wants to redeem it. Run away from the evil and run to a Savior who wants to save you, who wants to protect you. Folks, protecting our family means we run away from the worldliness that wants to destroy us and run into the arms of a God who wants to redeem and restore our families. But can I say this? Many a family has been ruined by the pursuit of very temporary things. How many of us have traded in the eternal blessings of God for a very temporary fix? And can I say this? Nothing that we do affects only us. Folks, that's a lie from the devil. The minute we say, I'm not hurting anybody, watch out. Somebody is being hurt. And unfortunately, the very first people in the crosshairs of our selfishness is our families. Stay away from the danger. Stay away from it. Don't court it. Don't say, how close can I get to it before it burns me? No, say, how far can I push that thing out of my life, out of my home, out of my family's lives? Hebrews chapter 2 says this. Since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not the angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest to the Spirit, to the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. You do not have to withstand the dangers alone. Run to a God who understands. Run to a Savior who's been there. He says, I know what it's like to be tempted. Let me show you how to withstand it. Let me show you how to protect your life and your family's life. God desires a family that is providing protection in the world full of dangers. Our families are facing very real dangers today. The devil is sneaking in through any way that he can. And too many times our families, our homes, are not a sanctuary, but a variable living hell on earth. I would like to say it's those people who have that problem. But can I say this? It's in the church. It's in the church too. Folks, in the church we have families who are falling apart. We have families who are under attack. We have families who have dangers that are seeping in through the cracks under the door. But God wants a family that's reflecting His holy image in this world. God desires a family just like Joseph and Mary and Jesus, to refine that example that they have given us, that we're going to persevere when we're under attack, that we're going to endure times of struggle, and we can count on each other to protect each other when it comes to danger. And can I say this, folks? Children, listen to me just a few minutes. A lot of times we think that it's just the parents' job to protect the family from danger. Can I say this? Sometimes as parents, we're clueless. We have no idea what's out there. But I tell you what, you kids do. You kids know the dangers that are out there. Maybe it's time for us to talk these issues through just a little bit more. Say, Daddy, there's a lot of stuff out there that isn't very good. Sometimes I don't know. There's a lot of stuff every day, some news coming up, folks. It's happening so fast that we can't keep up with it. It takes an entire family to work together to protect each other in this very difficult world. I don't know. This is a different angle than I've heard many people speak about these passages. But I'm tired of God's families being ripped apart. I'm tired of us trying to carry the struggle on our own. I'm tired of it. Folks, if you're part of a family, if you are part of a family, you're in the middle of a very real spiritual warfare. And I pray that God will give us the strength to stand up and reflect His image in this world. I'm going to ask Jen to play some music. And I just wonder if there's anyone here who says, you know what? I'm going to lift up my family today to the throne of God. Maybe it's about a hard situation you're going through right now. You see, you know what? We're going through a difficult time right now, and I just want to make sure that we're giving it all over to a God who wants to shine His image into our home. Maybe that's you this morning. Or maybe you say, you know what? We just got through a very difficult time, and we just want to give praise to a God who helped us through that difficult time. You know, I don't think God would mind at all us saying, you know what? I just want to say thank you, God. Thank you for being there. Or maybe it's time to say, you know what, God, I don't know what's coming around the corner. I don't know what's around the next bend in my life. But I do know that every day faces new challenges. And God, I just want to make sure that I'm relying wholly and completely on you today for my family. You see, whether you've been married for a year or married 60 years, the battle is still there. The dangers are still there. The sufferings are still there. It's a very real reality. Maybe it's time for us as the people of God to fall on our knees and say, I'm going to surrender my family to you. If God is pushing you in the direction of saying, I need you to pray that prayer this morning, I'll say the altar is open. And I think it's time for the people of God to say, the devil has taken too many of our families, but not one more. You mind what the Lord is telling you this morning? But as your pastor, I'm going to be praying not only for your families, I'm going to be praying for mine. A lot of times we think the pastors don't have to worry about this. Can I tell you that sometimes we sign up as pastors for even a deeper level of spiritual warfare? And the very first thing the devil wants to do to take the win out of a ministry is a pastor's family. I'll be praying for your families. But I would sure appreciate it if you'd pray for mine. And I think the sweetest way to end our time this morning is to pray together. So as the Lord leads you, you respond however God is telling you to respond this morning.